pray. Abba, we love you. We love to worship you. We love to honor you. We love to see you lifted up. We love to love you. You're so awesome. You are so awesome. Have your way with us. Pray that every heart would be tuned, that every mind would be set on you tonight. We bless what's in your heart to do. In Jesus' name. Amen. I know that I'm in trouble when I start drooling. You know what drooling is? I'm just sitting there and I'm starting to drool. And it's like, for me, you know, intense times of in his presence are, it's like I come in a cucumber and I'm being marinated to become a pickle. Just love marinating in his presence. I love marinating in his presence. Don't you?
Yes.
Whew. Hallelujah. 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 I'm not sure. Sometimes, you know, a God, excuse me. Thank you. Thank you. What do you got? Anybody else got something? Praise God. I love working with Holy Spirit. It's because it's never my plan. And, you know, I go and I have to be prepared to not be prepared. I have to be prepared to change direction anytime. Probably some of the best things that have ever happened have been when it's exactly totally different than what I had planned. He's, you know, you got to be okay with that. You got to be okay with God changing directions. Whose plans do we want anyways? Yours? No. No. If we're going to live and walk by faith, then we're going to have to live in such a way that we don't have a handle on everything. Well, we try to do that, don't we? Well, part of us tries to do that. Tries to have control, tries to have a handle on our lives. That's the old dead guy. That's the memory. That's the old memory system of the old dead guy. And it'll never get you anywhere. So Holy Spirit is an expert at getting us to die to ourself. He's an expert on bringing us to the end of ourself. Because at the end of ourself is him. And, you know, the church all over is trying to walk in resurrection power. But tell me how you can experience resurrection without dying. We need to die to ourselves. We need to die to our own opinions, our own plans, our own agendas. We need to die to it. We need to die to, you know, we've got an answer for everybody, you know, a comment for everybody. We need to die to that stuff. And just let him do what he wants. And then he'll release his gifting on us. He'll empower us. Things will come through our life that will shock us. I love being shocked by God. You know, when you read through the Gospel of Mark, I like the way he writes, because it says again and again he writes, and suddenly, read it, and suddenly. Okay, suddenly, you weren't expecting that suddenly. And suddenly, boom, God comes and does something. I love that. You know, we've had so many things happen on this mission that, you know, the team says, we don't know how to write this, because we write reports. And reports go out to people that say they want to read our reports all over the world, and those that want to pray for the team around the world. And And I get comments like this. I don't know how to write this. Anytime you don't know how to explain something that happened to you, it's probably God. As long as we can explain it all, maybe there's too much of us in that. I like living a life that I can't explain. Amen. Hallelujah. So my thought was that when we go around and we do church leaders conferences, and this is my thought, okay. We get comments from the church leaders that there are two sessions that impact them the most. One is the simple teaching on deliverance, and the other is the impartation service. We haven't done either of those here. We have tonight, we have tomorrow night, and where's Amanda? Is she gone? Oh. You couldn't get any closer. Oh, man. Huh? She was hiding. She was hiding. I don't know. You know what you think about Monday us doing something different. Like, how many of you have questions with all the stuff that's been going on? I mean, you have some questions that you'd like to have answered. A few people. That's always another great time. We're just sitting around with some folks and just, you know, them giving the questions and us just talking and sharing with the Holy Spirit about these things. And they say, man, I love this time. I love this time. I love this time. And I just thought that maybe we could make maybe Monday afternoon, we could leave the whole afternoon maybe open to talk with, you know, individually, to minister to you individually, you could share your heart. We have some members on the team that are, extremely blessed in the ability to help people get free from all kinds of things. And I know that they would be like, yeah, I'd love to be able to do that. Sometimes this takes a little bit more than 15 seconds. Sometimes, okay, not real long. You know, I'm more and more convinced that what God's trying to bring us into is the Jesus one-step program. Okay, and like in the area of deliverance, we can, we can go really deep, and we can try to zero in on things, or we could use, which is sometimes that needs to happen, but it's got to come from the Holy Spirit, not from our intellect. Not from our knowledge about what we know about these things. It's got to come from the Holy Ghost. He reveals it. Because we're familiar with it, we dive in and we help the person. But my favorite way is what Jesus usually does. He does. When you read the Gospels, is he just gets a stick of dynamite out. And he dunamis powers the spirits out. Okay? Now, you could take somebody who's been to school for many years learning all the details, you know, about how to do something like that, or how to get rid of a problem, or you could give a 9-year-old child a stick of dynamite and say, light it and throw it. Both are going to work. I prefer the dynamite approach, but, you know, we use both. You know what I'm saying? So I'm gonna talk to you really brief. I mean, we a lot of times we get really deep into this, but just really brief because we want you to understand the simplicity of getting yourself free and staying free. Right? Okay. Because the rest of our life we're gonna need to be getting our mind renewed to think like Jesus. Right? Okay, so we need to understand how to work with the Holy Spirit because he's going to bring things to your remembrance. He's going to show you things that need to be dealt with. And, you know, if you don't understand the simplicity of how to deal with this, then you just might not do anything. Instead of, yeah, and I let the devil come and make you feel like you're a slug, and try to put guilt and condemnation on you, you know, because, you know, something that you did, when that's already all covered underneath the blood. You know, on God's side, there's no issue. Sin has been dealt with. On God's side, there is no problem. The problem is on our side. When we have sin issues in our life, it affects our fellowship. How many of you know when you have a fight with your wife, guys, or ladies, when you have a fight with your husband, that affects your fellowship? Right? That's sin. And you're just not lovey-dovey, right? Okay, the same way with our relationship with our Father. When there's sin there, it affects it on our side, not on his side. He's always, come on, come on, daughter, come on, come on, come on, I want you to come. He's always like that. He's never push off. He's never angry with us. He's never saying, no. No, he's always open. Everything's been done to make the way. Heaven is open over us. The issue's on our side, and the devil messes with the issue on our side. So, we need to just understand a little bit. I want to give you just the basic. Is that okay? Yes. And then maybe tomorrow night we'll do impartation. I love that. We did some impartation this morning at the service that we were at. I had this teenage young man came up to me, and I asked him, you know, what is it you want from God? And this young man looked at me straight in the eyes, tears welled up in his eyes. He looked at me and he said, I ain't leaving till I get everything you got. And he grabbed a hold of my hands with a vice grip. And I knew, he's not going to let go. You know, I got a wedding band, and sometimes people squeeze my hand so hard that it like cuts right into my fingers. Because they're squeezing so hard. And this young man was squeezing me so hard. The power of God came on him. He needed a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost. The power of God came on him, and he hit the deck. He took me down with him. He wasn't letting go. He would not let go of my hands. And I, you know, and I, at one point I started to get my fingers loose. He grabbed harder. I said, all right. I said, it's okay. I'm staying with you. Amen. Just like Jesus. He's not going nowhere. Young man, what a blessing. What a blessing. Hallelujah. So let's look at this scripture. In 2 Corinthians, oh yeah, you know, this is all good news. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Okay. Do you not do that here? Do you not, like, ever say amen? I mean, out loud? You do sometimes? Amen. Amen. You say, amen. Amen. Yes. What does it mean? It means thus shall it be. Yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Here we go. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, are you in Christ?
Yes.
Who put you there? Huh? The Holy Spirit put you there when you said, Jesus, come and save me. He put you in Christ. So all the experiences of Christ became your experiences because he put you in him. That means when he died, you died. The old Jew died with him. When he was buried, you were buried with him. When he was raised, seated at the right hand of the Father, guess where you are? You're two places right now. You are seated with Jesus at the right hand of the Father. And you're here. That's cool, isn't it? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. That word, new creation, what that means is a totally, totally unique, completely different creation, unknown to anything ever before. It's not human. It's God creation. It's a brand new creation, created with the DNA of God the Father, created with the DNA of God, created with the life and image of God. That's the new creation. That's who you are on the inside. That's the real you. Okay, the old you, okay, you still got the old mind. You come to Christ with the old mind. Okay, but you are completely new on the inside. You're a brand new person. Your spirit's completely new. Completely, completely, totally, just like God. You. Old things have passed away. That's who you were before, have passed away. Now, your head's going to tell you it didn't happen, right? Because you still think the same way. Right after you're saved, you still think the same way. You still have the same emotions. You know, your spirits. Here's how I could tell for me is that I didn't want to do the same things I did before. I still did them, but I didn't want to do them. You know, as a Christian, we can still sin. We just can't enjoy it anymore. It's true. You know, it tears you up on the inside. Because who you are doesn't do that anymore. Who you are is a man or woman of God who walks in holiness and walks in power and walks in victory and walks to defeat the works of the devil. That's who you are. And then when you begin doing things contrary to that, you feel weird on the inside. Because that's contrary to the nature that you have now. You don't need to try to live by the dead nature. The Old Testament calls that necromancing. When you mess with dead things, God says, don't mess with dead things. Us dwelling on and thinking on the old man thinking is necromancing. It's messing with something that's dead. Yuck. So we got to get our mind renewed, right? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, how many of you read that the first time you thought, all things? Your thinking's still the same? Your body still looks the same? When he says all things, he means who you really are. Your spirit has become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Hey, he's given us a ministry of reconciliation. Okay. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself and not imputing their trespasses to them and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. What is that? When you receive Jesus, your spirit gets reconciled, saved. Okay? When your soul gets reconciled, that's called deliverance. When your body gets reconciled, that's called healing. That's the ministry we've been given. We reconcile people's sick bodies back to the truth of what Jesus has done. We reconcile people's messed up minds, their soul, back to the truth to be renewed of what Jesus has done for them. That's the ministry we've all been given. A ministry of to reconcile people to the truth of what God has done. Hee-haw. Hee-haw. Glory. Look at Romans chapter 12. The what?
The way
to us forgive. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, because of the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Because God's mercy towards you was so awesome. He's saying, I beseech you, present your bodies. Present your bodies. Present your bodies. Present them. Oh, a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. The first thing we do is we present our bodies to him. Okay, what about your spirit? It's been bought and paid for by Jesus. We belong to Jesus now. Right? Our life belongs to him. He bought and paid for us. We don't really have a right to do what we want with our life now, do we? When we discover what he wants for our life and we begin to step into it, everything changes. Heaven is open, but now the truth that heaven is open becomes reality in our life. Heaven is open over every one of you, but you're not all experiencing the truth of that because you haven't really given yourself to the understanding that your life's not yours. It's his. And we live for Him. For Him. For Him. How did that turn page by itself? And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, he's telling us how we get our mind transformed, how we get our soul transformed. It's got to be renewed. The only way. It's got to be renewed. Renewed to the truth. Let your mind, your soul be renewed by the truth. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay, you know what that word prove means? Demonstrate. What's the perfect will of God? We talked about, I don't know, I think first session, maybe second session, I don't know. I know we talked about it here. Okay, what is it God's will to heal people? Is it God's will to set people free? Is it God's will? Is it God's will for all?
Yes.
Okay, that's the perfect will of God, right? That's His desire, is that people would be free. It's His desire that they would be healed of sickness, that the work of the enemy would be driven out. That's His desire, right? He's saying, when our mind gets renewed, we'll be able to demonstrate that truth. As our mind gets renewed, we will be able to demonstrate that truth. And I'm telling you, it works just like this. The more our mind gets renewed, the more we are able to demonstrate. He expands the borders. He brings more people. It's not that we get a greater anointing. The anointing is Him, and He's in you. It's just that more gets able to be released. Because our spirit is encapsulated by our soul. And it's got to be worked out through our body. Have you ever heard somebody speak scripture, but you felt there was something tainted in what they were saying? I mean, they're speaking scripture, but you felt there something wasn't right? It's because it's coming out and going through the filter of the soul, and if the soul is impure, it's going to pick up that purity of that word. It's going to pick up the impurity of the soul, the part that's not renewed. Are you with me? Hence, we need deliverance. We need to be set free from the things that hinder us, and we need to have our mind renewed. They work together. In fact, when you discover a lot of the truth, your mind gets renewed to a lot of the truth about who you are. You, please download that 9 pages of scriptures off our website and meditate on those. It's who you are. It's who God says you are. It's all scripture. Okay. As you continue to let your mind be renewed on those scriptures, then what happens is there's more and more liberty for the freedom for the spirit to be released.
Yes.
And you'll know it, and everybody around you will know it. It's amazing. Now keep in mind, okay, if you put yourself in a ministry situation like we talked about yesterday, the Spirit of God will still come upon you because He wants to touch people. But I don't want it just to be a hit and miss and occasional times when I've got somebody standing in front of me. I want to walk in it. Walk in it. I want to walk in the liberty of the Spirit of God. I want everything I do, everywhere I go, I want to walk in that liberty. That's what Jesus did. He just exuded the Spirit of God. Everything He did, there was no hindrance. There was nothing in Jesus' soul. Nothing to restrict. So we look at Jesus gives His life as a demonstration of what ours will look like when we get our mind renewed and we get free of the junk. That's exactly what our life will look like every day. Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's my hope is some of you are going, oh yeah, 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 you know what, that's for me, that's where I'm going. Jesus, You own this life, and I'm going to let people see, I'm going to demonstrate. See, here's what, I'll tell you, the devil uses a lot of different tactics, okay, and one of them to get us sidetracked is fear. Because once you buy fear, perfect love casts out fear, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so the devil knows if he can get you into fear, the fear is the opposite of faith. And how many of you know if there isn't any faith, we're not going to see much happen? So the devil knows if I can get them to buy a little bit of fear, okay, I can shut them down. They won't be able to do anything. So you know when he's going to stop doing that? When we go home. But we can absolutely understand the tactics and absolutely cut them off at the pass. James said, resist the devil at the onset. In the very beginning, when he first shows up with his lies, resist them right now. You receive healing, okay? You know you got healing. And then that night, he comes back and throws the pain back in there again. Okay, you resist them right now when he comes. No! I have received from the Lord. I'm not buying that. I'm not accepting at the onset. If you just take and just start to think about that. Okay, that's why Scripture says, take your thoughts captive. Make them obedient to Christ. There was a time in my life, you know, I realized that I was putting my foot in my mouth a lot. And I was getting myself in trouble. And I realized through ministry of Holy Spirit, he revealed to me that I need to talk a whole lot less. Took me to James, be quick to listen and slow to speak. So what I did was, because I was just after more God, I just didn't want anything but him. People started talking to me, you know, when I'm standing there, and I might say anything. You know, I'm just trying to take the thoughts captive, and I don't want to respond with anything out of myself. I only want to respond with what God wants to reveal, what God wants to say. So, you know, for the longest, I'm just standing there, and they're waiting for me to say something. And I had people telling me, are you all right? I've had people I didn't even know me say, are you retarded? You know, because you know, I'm standing there, and I came to the place, I refused to say anything out of myself. I just wanted to be a God word. I want to be something that's going to lift them up and bless them and change the circumstance. And oh my gosh, we were in worship one Sunday morning, and the power of God came on me. I hit the deck. I'm down on the floor on my face, and the Spirit of God took me into a vision. Now look, this changed my life. Watch this. He said, I want to show you the effect of what comes out of your mouth. I said, okay. He showed me when you speak negative words, words that are contrary, fleshly words, words of the old nature, words that are contrary to the truth and who you really are. Here's what happens. You speak it. I saw a scroll come out of my mouth. And then a roll. And I saw a demon there. And he took it. He said, thank you very much. I will perform that word in your life. And he said, now watch this. I spoke a word that was truth about who I was. That I am the very righteousness of God. He said, now watch this. When you speak truth, this is what happens. Scroll comes out. And an angel comes. Thank you very much. We get to perform the truth in your life. I'm not special. It's the same with all of you. If we aren't mindful of what we're doing and what we're releasing, the Scripture says that many words are not without sin. You're going to put your foot in your mouth if you talk a lot. So I went just the exact opposite. Slowed way down. Because my desire was, I just gotta have more of God. So, understanding fear, okay? Here I am, I'm in the bush, and I was Uganda. We finished a meeting late at night, we had no place to stay, so we had to drive for like 3 hours, and it had been raining all night, and we got stuck in the mud. So we got out and we're pushing the vehicle to get it out of the mud. It's like midnight. We're pushing the vehicle and pushed it, and then I realized that I had cut myself right there. And we got back to the place where we were, and we got cleaned up, and I looked, and the vein that goes up here, there was an infection already up to here. Now listen, we're in a bush. There's no place to go. In fact, they took us to one of their hospitals to pray for the people in the hospital, and it was like way far away. And it was, to see this place, I mean, it was dirt floor. There's no windows. The operating table was covered in flies. So what do you think happens? The devil comes right away, because my wife was a medical transcriptionist, medical records transcriptionist, and she was doing that stuff. And thank God she doesn't do that anymore. She was doing that stuff. You know, she learned a lot about all this medical stuff, you know. And I always told her, don't talk to me about it, okay? I don't want to know. So she had told me once, you know, about how, you know, infection goes up through the vein. You can see it. When it gets to the heart, they're done. You're dead. Okay. So I'm watching that, and the devil says, you're not going to wake up in the morning. You're done. You're never going back home. You're finished. And he knew that I knew what she had said. Now, I got a choice to make. Am I going to believe that, or am I going to believe what God says about me? Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Am I going to believe that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead gives life to my mortal frame, that he's inside of me, the same spirit with resurrection life that resurrected Jesus is in me, and he can release that out into my veins and fill me with that resurrection? Am I going to believe that? Or am I going to believe, a carnal believer believes the physical evidence. A spiritual believer believes the word. And I said, I'm not buying it, devil. I'm on mission. And this mission is to destroy your works. And you're gonna pay big. I'm going to sleep. So I lay down and went to sleep. Woke up in the middle of the night, and I looked, and it was all the way up. I did the same thing again. I'm not buying it, devil. I'm going to sleep. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Finally woke up, I don't know, 6 o'clock in the morning. Woke up, time to get going. It was gone. Resist the devil at the onset. Right away, resist him. Don't buy into that. He comes with the fear, and he can do it in so many ways, right? All right? I mean, when you go to a doctor, I mean, they listen to their words. Yeah. I go get occasional checkups. You know, I don't tell people don't go to the doctor, don't take medicine. I don't ever do that. But, you know, I go get an occasional checkup, and, you know, a doctor will tell me something, and I'll say, okay, well, that's subject to change. Okay, well, you know, you got this thing going on. I said, well, you know, that may be what your tests show, but I got something else going on. When I come back for the next checkup, you'll see what I got going on. And sure enough, I come back, just trusting. Now that I know what he says the issue is, I just stand against that and resist that, and I declare the truth over that part of my body continually. I go back, it's tested again. He said, well, there's nothing wrong. I'm telling you, this is real. This is real stuff. But, you know, the devil lays out this fear thing as a tactic to trap us and get us in. Because once fear comes, if a spirit of fear comes, it opens the way, makes the way for all kinds of other issues to come in. So we've got to hammer this sucker. We've got to hammer him. Right? Amen! Amen! Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't buy it. How many times did Jesus say again and again, don't be afraid, don't worry. I mean, don't do that. Don't you know he's with you? Wow. Wow. So, let me ask you a question. Can a Christian have a demon? Nobody said anything.
Yes.
You know, actually, a Christian is free to have whatever they want to have. If you want to do the kinds of things in your life that invite them in, well, then you can do that. Okay? But you won't be happy with it. Not if you're a Christian. Not if you're born again. You won't be happy. You'll only be happy when you're free of it. Can a Christian be possessed? Nada. No. Possession is ownership. You are possessed by the Lord Jesus Christ. You are owned by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before you came to Christ, okay, who owned you? Who had liberty in your life? How many of you live like hell? Well, there's six of us here that used to live like hell before Christ. Okay, literally, and we were an open door. We had an open door policy for demons. We didn't see it. We didn't know it. Okay, but we did. And that's why we don't cast demons out of a lost person. Because ownership of the house is in the hands of the devil. And what happens if you cast out a devil out of the devil's house? He's just going to come back. He's got the key. Right? Okay, so what we do is if we have a lost person and they need help getting free from some stuff, we say, okay, Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. But it's got to be the Son who sets you free. And if you're ready to receive Christ, we're ready to help you to get free. Okay, now, if it's a matter of sickness, there's no requirements, okay? There's zero requirements. Don't ever tell somebody you got a sin issue that is hindering the healing coming. That's not true. Jesus dealt with everything that needs to be dealt with to bring healing. There are zero requirements. Okay? Don't buy into that. Don't buy. It's not true. So we just simply need to recognize that when you come to Christ, He owns the house. And then when we get free, He keeps us free. That's good news. Who do you want? Who do you want standing outside your door? Jesus? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, let me tell you about manifestations, okay? You probably don't see a lot of them. You got to pray for a lot of people. When you pray for a lot of people, especially people on the streets, lost people, Muslims, you know, people in cults, when you begin to pray for those kinds of people, you're going to see manifestations. Okay, now you may be seeing manifestations from the Spirit of God coming on people. You know, manifestation is you can just sense His presence. Sometimes you just vibrate, you know, just because the presence of God is so, you're manifesting the glory. Okay, we're not talking about that kind of manifestation. We're talking about how a demon will manifest on a person, especially when someone carrying the Spirit of God begins to get near them. Someone who knows who they are. Remember when Jesus walked into the sanctuary in Mark chapter 1? He walked in. Now these people are in church week after week. Jesus walks in and somebody starts manifesting. Read it in Mark 1. Okay, the more we get ourselves out of the way and the Spirit of God allowed to come out of us, you're gonna see people. I mean, I meet customers. I'm sitting with a customer, and they start manifesting. I mean, it's weird. When I say manifesting, what do I mean? It's like this, okay? Like, man, I just got this sudden pain right across my eyes. It's like really bad pain. Like, I said, have you ever had that before? No, I've never had that before. Well, I know it's a demonic manifestation. This dude's carrying some critters, and these critters are scared because they're sitting in the presence of glory. How many of you know that you are glory's hope? Glory is in you. Okay, you are carrying the glory of God in you. Okay, if that's allowed to leak out, okay, it's going to affect people. So, you know, the customer, he's the lost guy, so I just say, well, I can fix that for you, okay? If you let me pray, I can fix it for you. It's all right. I just command you, foul spirit, get off of him now in the name of Jesus. That's it. No screaming, no yelling, because that'll scare people more. You know, you go, you devil, get off here. Don't do that. He definitely won't be a customer, that's for sure. Like, this guy's a fruitcake. He and he says, ooh, it's gone. It's gone. Just like that. There's going to be manifestations, okay? We see some pretty wild ones. We see some crazy ones. And if you're going to be out there in prayer ministry, and you're going to be praying in the name of Jesus, you're going to see some stuff. What do you do with it? We had some manifestations in the church service this morning. Some people were manifesting. We had some folks that came out of the occult. We had one young man that, I mean, he bought the garb from a witch doctor. He was sick. He had problems in his body. He bought these things, these charms and stuff to put on him, you know, parts of animal skin wrapped around and all these things. He bought that, paid for it. How many of you know, the devil makes you pay and then doesn't produce. See, he's out to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his mode of operation. He's not out to help. So this guy, 3 years he's been suffering, going to witch doctors because he didn't see the power in the church. So he went to witch doctors and did this, and just simply this morning confessed that. Well, he got prayer. He took the stuff off. It's on the ground. Got thrown out. He confessed that. Got touched by Jesus and completely healed. He saw the real power. Do you know the people that get involved in the occult, the main reason why they get involved in the occult is because they want power. They want power in their life. They're seeking power. We're at a crusade in one of the countries in Africa, and the witch doctor in this village comes out. It was a small village, and the witch doctor comes out and comes over with a divining stick. You know what that is? It's a stick like looks like a Y. This particular lady was a witch and used this to try to put curses on people. Okay? And we're there and we're ministering to people. And she comes around. and we're like, really? Really? You know, trying to put fear on us. Someone said, well, who's that? And they said, well, that's the head witch doctor of the village. Oh, really? Okay, let's keep going. And just keep going. Oh, come on. Finally, one of the pastors, we had a bunch of pastors with us after the pastors' conference, and they're praying with us, and he went over to the person, and she looked up at her face, and she's going, yeah, and he said, in the name of Jesus, get out of her. Boom! She's down in the deck. I mean, hard and fast, boom! And she's stuck to the ground. Her little stick went flying way away, and she's pinned to the ground, can't move. That was it. Just a word of authority. The devil makes himself look big. He's not big. We have been given all authority, the all authority of Jesus over everything he does, over all the ability of the enemy. Hallelujah. So, you know, I look at this stuff, and this is fun to me. It's fun to me now. When the devil tries to do this stuff to us, I know it's going to happen. It's fun. So, the power of God kept this lady down on the ground until we were completely done ministering. We finished ministering, went over and said, now, would you like to talk? You wanted to see power? That's why you joined up that group, right? What just happened to you? She got saved. Glory to God. Had another witch. We had lines of people out in the bush coming for prayer. And, you know, I didn't know, but the next one in line was the head warlock for the village. And this particular person got in line to curse me when it came time for prayer. So this person said, I said, what would you like prayer for? And this person said, I don't want prayer for nothing. I want you to see the power I have. I said, okay. You want to pray for me first, and I'll pray for you second. The guy said, what? I said, hey, pray for me. You got some serious power, right? I got power. I got power. I said, okay, pray for me. And he did some kind of thing, you know, speaking in some kind of language. I didn't know what it was. And he's just gyrating. And he slowed down. I said, are you done now? He's looking at me like he's expecting that I was going to be on the ground sick or throwing up blood or something, whatever he was trying to curse me with, you know. He said, I'm done. This is my turn. Put your hands out, bud. I want to let you know that I know, because Jesus told me, that the reason you're doing this is because you so bad want to experience the power of God, because that's what you were created for. You just got led astray. You got led down the wrong road. And I want to let you know that what you're about to experience is going to be Jesus the Christ, the one who created you and loves you so much. And he'll give you a life that's worth living. You want to see power? In the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, touch him. You know what happened? The power got picked the guy up, went over, it was maybe 10, 15 people deep, went over all the people, bam, slam dunk on the ground. So one of the pastors was there, he says, I'm going to go check him out, okay? Yeah, go ahead, check him out. He came back a little while later, he says, he's saved now. He said he saw the real power today. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. The devil's got nothing. The devil's got nothing. The devil's got nothing. You know, how many times in the church we hear, you know, you don't want somebody who's got sin to be laying hands on you and praying for you. You heard that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, when you know who's in you and what you've got, okay, can you know how to release the Spirit, go ahead, pray for me. It's going to go this way, bud. It's not going to come this way. It's going to go this way because I got the greater in me. And it's going to always flows this way. And even if you're the one doing the praying, you're touching me, it's going to go that way. We were in a bus going to a crusade, and it was a 15-passenger bus, and there was 42 people in there. We were in South America. That's illegal in the U.S., but it's not illegal there. And I'm in the back seat, and there's like six people in the back seat. We're all jammed up there. And I'm sitting right next to me. We're like squeezed on top of each other. And this guy's sitting next to me, and he said, where are you going? I said, oh, we go and tell people about Jesus, and we get him healed and set free and that kind of stuff. He says, oh, you're one of those Christian people? I said, yeah, you could say that. He said, well, I'm a Jehovah's Witness. I said, well, good. It's nice to meet you. What are you going to do? He says, well, you know, we're going to witness to people. I said, well, how do you witness? He says, I got a bag of stuff. I said, okay. I said, can I pray for you? He says, oh, no. You don't pray for me. No, you don't touch me. I said, okay. How about this? Can I bless you? You like to be blessed, right? Well, yeah, you can bless me. Okay. So I just, you know, got my hand over on his leg, and I prayed. Here's how I prayed. Holy Spirit, come. Open his eyes. All of a sudden, we're in the back seat. The window behind, his head goes back, boom, hits the window, and he's like. And I'm looking, and I said, oh, God, what are you doing, God? This is too cool. You know, it was maybe 5-10 minutes. And he's still out. Finally, he comes around, and he's shaking like crazy. You got to tell me what happened to me. You got to tell me what happened to me. I said, what? I got to tell me what happened, and I'll tell you what happened. He said, I think I had a dream or a vision or something. I've never had anything like that before. And he says, you got to tell me what it means. Why is he asking me what it means? I said, well, what is it? He said, I was with all of my Jehovah friends, and we're all walking together, holding hands and marching to do our work, and we're coming to the edge of a cliff, and this fire fire way down there. We're coming to the edge of the cliff, and they're falling off, and they're screaming, and they're dying. And that was the next one, and they're going to go over. I don't want to die. I said, then you're sitting next to the right person. I said, God, the one who created you, just allowed you to have that. Because I was sitting next to you, and I know the truth of what will get you to heaven. I know you're working for it. Jesus already did all the work. So you can rest. Would you like to rest? You're probably pretty tired, right? Pretty hard work doing that Jehovah stuff, isn't it? Well, I wouldn't look at it like that. I said, tell me the truth. Is it work? He says, it's hard. I said, well, Jesus did all the work. He forgave all your sins. And the man accepted Jesus right there in the bus, and he just sat there weeping. How many of you know, you have Jehovah Witnesses here? No? You got a few? You ever try to talk to one? You know what we need? We need to bring the power of God. We just need to know who it is we're carrying and bring the power of God. Whoa. What do I do? Nothing. We taught the folks this morning how to drink of the Spirit, and they were drinking. What am I looking for? Okay, Lucas. I'm using Casey's Bible today. I told you all that I left mine at home, right? Glued the binding and forgot it. Okay. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. And the 70 returned with joy. They returned how? With joy. We should return home every day with joy. There should be nothing in our day that steals the joy from us. Nothing. When the 70 returned with joy, what are they doing? They're out there just doing for the Lord, right? Okay, and 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He's saying, let me tell you about Satan, okay? I saw him. He thought he was something. And like, if you're falling like lightning, you're falling pretty fast, right? That's how fast he got ejected out of glory when he thought that he could do something besides what God wanted him to do. Behold, I give you the authority. Behold, I give you the authority. All authority was given to him. But he's saying, I give you the authority. Why? Why would he give us the authority? He expects us to use it, right? Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power. That word power is exousia, and it means ability. I give you authority over all the ability of the devil. All of it. You have authority over all of it. Y'all understand you're going to get tested on this? Holy Ghost school comes with a test. You will be tested. But you know what you need to do to pass. I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing, say nothing,
nothing,
shall by any means hurt you. Nothing. Nothing. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Rejoice because you're a son and daughter of the King. And you're joint heirs with Jesus. You are joint heirs, which means you get the same thing Jesus gets. All that he got handed to him for his victory over everything, you get the same thing. Oh man, we could spend a little time meditating on that, huh? Yep, it's true. So, I'm gonna tell you the first experience that I had when I went to South America. After we went We knew that we were going to go out and we were just going to go on missions. We went to Guyana, South America. It was at a time when the U.S. government said, do not go to Guyana because they're killing missionaries on the road. Okay? So there's three of us in the church, Casey, myself, and one of the other elders, and we said, let's go. The U.S. government said, don't go to Americans. We're not forbidding it, but we're telling you not to go because they're killing missionaries on the streets. And we felt, you know what? We have authority. He who's with us is greater. This is going to be an opportunity to have the adventure of a lifetime. Okay, the greater the evil, the greater the outpouring of God. That sounds crazy to the unrenewed mind. But to the renewed mind, it sounds like, yeah, this is where the action is. Let's go. So we went down there, and we got to the... you going to play that? We got to the airport. We went. We had a Guyanese man that said he would take us down there because he knew one pastor. We knew no one. We had no contacts. We knew no one. We knew a Guyanese man in America. He said, I know a pastor. I can get him to come and pick us up, and maybe he might open up his church for you. Okay. Well, that's a heck of a way to plan a trip like that, isn't it? But you know what? God is so awesome. The adventure is awesome. So we get there, and we got to the airport, and they made an announcement. They said, okay, it's really bad on the roads. Do not go out on the roads. These guys, they're on the roads. They're cutting trenches in the road. They're filling them with sharp objects. So when your vehicle hits the trench, the tires blow, you pull over, and here comes the thugs, and they're going to kill you. They're killing people and robbing them. And they announced that. And we said, the pastor was there, and we said, what do you think, pastor? He said, by grace we go. I said, okay. Well, the guy that went with us said, you guys go, I ain't going. I'll stay here. There's no way I'm going. So the three of us went with the pastor. We drove down there. Well, you know what happened? We hit one of the trenches. Tires blew. Had to pull off the road. So here comes four guys. One's got a big bat. One's got a rifle. One's got a knife. One's got a, was it a gun? They had an assortment of weapons, and they're coming towards us, right? All of a sudden, they stop, and they're acting weird, like this, and they said, "Who are you?" We said, "We're missionaries. We've come to bless the people of this nation," and they're going, looking at each other, and we said, who are you? We said, we are missionaries. We told you. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that has sent us. God put a wall. There had to be angels. They put some kind of wall there. I don't know if it was angels or what it was, but they could not get any closer than like 4 or 5 feet. That's it. They hit a wall. And they felt this wall. And they were like, we've never seen nothing like this before. They were going to kill us and rob us. You know what happened? He fixed our tires, gave us some cash, and sent us down. And I think they called ahead to the other places to say, all right, let these guys go by, okay? You don't want to mess with them. These are some weird dudes. So we get down to this place. We're talking to the pastor all the way. He watches this thing happen. He's thinking, oh, my God. So we get down there, and he said, you know, maybe I'll give you the Sunday night service. I said, okay, that's fine, Pastor. And by the time we got down there, we had talked to him for the three-hour ride. There was 18,000 potholes on this road on the way down there. And he finally said, do you want the Sunday morning service? We said, we'll take it. So we got in there, and the pastor and the four elders, I think it was four elders, wasn't it? Four elders. They're sitting up front, and we gave some words of knowledge. People came up and for prayer, and a lady starts to manifest. I mean, like this. Now, what happens in most countries is when they see something like that, they automatically assume it's demonic. Now, that probably looked a little demonic, right? But they automatically assume that it's demonic. Okay, so what the pastor did was, I'll never forget this. He's up on the platform, and he's looking at that. He takes off running, dives off the platform, yeah! Grabs a hold of this lady, and he tries to wrestle her. Now, how many of you know we don't fight devils with carnal weapons? You cannot wrestle and win a demon. He's trying to fight, and he's screaming like, devils, get out! Devils, get out! Devils, devils, get out! Trying to wrestle this lady. Well, she started cleaning his clock. The pastor's starting to bleed. She knocks him down on the ground. Okay, here's the four elders. Thank you. And they're, let's go! Now we got four elders and the pastor wrestling this one lady. We never saw anything. Oh my God. She's. Oh my gosh. It was an amazing sight to see. And they're all screaming at the top of their lungs for the devils to come out of this woman. And the more they screamed, the worse it got for them. I mean, we knew if that didn't get stopped, they'd be naked and bleeding and running out of the building any minute. So, Casey got down there. He got his mouth up to the ear of the woman. And he spoke into her ear, I command you to submit in the name of Jesus. Quietly, nobody else heard it. All of a sudden she goes, whew. Because the devil knew, here's someone who knows the authority that he has. Authority doesn't need to yell. We yell because we're scared. Because we're afraid. The devils are actually afraid of us. They're afraid that we will stand in that place of who God made us to be. Oh, it's awesome. We went back a number of years later and found out that this woman was now a pastor and has Grace Deliverance type tabernacle. We got to go to her church, and we went to her church, and she said, what I learned during those seminars, I put that into practice. And we have people come in here needing deliverance now. There's never any screaming. And it's very quickly. And people are coming from all over to get free. Wow. Glory to God. And that's where she was before. Man. Hallelujah. So, we've got four simple steps, okay? I use these things every day, and if you will use it, you will follow it. You can keep yourself free, and you can help get someone else free, okay? When we help someone through deliverance, we have them do this because we want them to use the authority they have over the issue in their life. We don't want to just go in and command the demons to go because we use this as a teaching tool to teach the people how they can do it. It's awesome. You know, we're sharing things with you this week that work. They work. We say to church leaders all the time, you know, you're doing lots of stuff, right? Yeah. Okay, tell us the fruit. Tell us what's working. How many people are being healed? How many miracles are happening? How many lives are being restored? How many? We got more marriage mess-ups in America churches than we do outside the church. I don't know how it is here. More problems in the church than even outside. Because it's just not understanding what we've got. So, this is so simple. And we're going to give you a little demonstration. Does somebody have a backpack? Somebody bring a backpack? You got a backpack? Is that a backpack? All right. We'll use it. Okay. The first step is to ask God for forgiveness. Here's what happens. The Holy Spirit comes and shows you an issue. He does that for you, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Like, you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have said that. That wasn't good. That was hurtful. Things like that, right? He does that to you? Okay. Conviction. He comes, but he doesn't come to keep you convicted. He comes to set you free. He comes to reveal something to you with the purpose of to bring you into holiness and righteousness. Not to keep you messed up or making you think you're a mess. He always comes to set us free. But if we don't know how to work with him and follow through with him, we just stay in that mess and just, you know, feel worse about ourselves. So that's why he doesn't say much to us until we know what to do with it. So the first thing is 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. It's real simple. Whatever he's revealing to you, or if there's someone helping you, what the Spirit of God is showing them and revealing them to them that an issue, okay, then you just confess it, okay? Father, forgive me for lying. Forgive me, Father. Thank you for washing me clean. Okay, if there's a spirit of lying that's come in because you had been doing that a long time, then the rug just gets pulled out right now with that release that you just prayed. Okay, the second thing is renounce, because you have authority over your life. Somebody else coming to you doesn't, unless you give it to them. But we all have authority over our own life. So the second thing is you with the authority of Jesus, you renounce the ground that you gave to the devil. And you say, you know what? I renounce the ground that I gave to you, lying spirit. I'm taking that ground back right now in the name of Jesus. With the authority I have, I'm taking that ground back right now in the name of Jesus. The third thing, the ground's been removed. You've renounced the ground that was given to the devil, the ground of your soul. And the third thing is, now you're going to bind that spirit up, and again, with the authority of Jesus, you're going to command it to go. You're going to command it to go. You're using your authority. I call this spiritual breathing. I do it on a regular basis. As soon as I realize I passed a wrong remark, I did something I shouldn't do, boom, I'm taking myself right through, cleansed. And if there's somebody else involved, I'm seeking forgiveness with them. And I mean, even before they even take off, it's just happening. So I can have a conscience that's void of offense towards God and towards man. It's easy. It's really, 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 really easy. And the devil just can't find any way to get in. And your spirit gets released more and more. So you do this. The third thing, you lying spirit, I bind you. And I command you to leave me right now in Jesus' name. Go. I want to tell you, that's all it takes. That spirit has to go. Has no option, no plan B, can't hang around. It's got to go. And the fourth part, my favorite, Holy Spirit, come and fill that area of my life with your glorious presence. You. Isn't that simple? That's so simple. Call it spiritual breathing. We just live with that. We live with that every day. And you can help others when they got issues. You can say, I'll show you how simple this is. There's no screaming. There's no yelling. There's no, you know, gyrations. It's just quiet. You can do it sitting next to someone. It's amazing. It's amazing. Amen. So, backpack. Okay. You ready there, partner? He's going to be Satan. Casey's going to be Satan. All right. I'm a lost person, and I have just received Jesus. Okay. I'm a brand now. I just became a brand new believer. Okay. So this is my soul and all of the baggage. Okay, I got a brand new spirit, but I came into the kingdom of God carrying all the garbage of my soul still. Okay? I'm a brand new person on the inside, but I'm still carrying the garbage of my soul. So So I came in. All of a sudden, the desires of my heart are changed now. And I just, you know, I just wanted to. I was invited to go to a prayer meeting. You know, I just want to go. I want to go pray with these guys. So whoa! I want to go pray with them. I'm just going to go pray with them. And I want to go. I want just. What's the matter with me? What's the matter with me? I really want to do. You know what? I want to go to church. I want to worship. I want to worship Jesus. I'm going to go to church. Whoa! I just want to go. I'm yearning to go to church. I want to get together with other believers, and I want to have. Whoa! What's the matter with me? That's what's the matter with me. Then somebody comes along and shows me the simplicity of getting free of this. They begin to show me how my mind needs to be renewed in the Word of God. Begins to show me the scriptures that say who I am. And I begin to meditate on that. And I begin to go through the process of using the authority with the help of the person who loves me and is coming up alongside of me to show me that. And this process begins. And I feel like, I'm free! It's like that. Where are you going? Okay. I have an issue, okay? I have a soul issue, and there's been a call for prayer, and Casey, I'm going to have Casey pray for me. Okay. Huh? He's not the devil. He's not the devil. He is a loving brother in the Lord, filled with the Holy Ghost, and his sole desire is to help hurting people. Okay? So I'm coming to him for help. Okay.
This is like a crusade type setting or a church setting. So it's just like a practical demonstration on what deliverance is going to look like. Okay? So first I just ask him, can I pray for you? Mm-hmm. And what's your problem? How can I pray for you?
I've been struggling with this wicked bad anger, really bad. I mean, it is so bad that I'm going around the house punching holes in the walls. It's really bad.
Oh, did you hear what he said? The key word, anger. Anger is not a spirit of God. It's a demonic spirit. Anger is not in God. He can't be angry. So he needs to be set free from that spirit. But before we can set him free, we need to find out if he's a Christian. Because deliverance is for the Christian, not for the lost. Because if he was lost and I took him through the deliverance, because I have the authority. And if I turn around and walked away after I set him free, the Bible says that 7 times more worse demons will come in to him. Okay? So you do a real bad injustice if you try to get someone unsaved, set free. Okay? So the first thing is you always want to make sure they're saved. Would you like to be set free from this?
Yes, I would.
And do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I'm going to help you get set free, okay?
Thank you so much.
So I want you just to repeat after me because I want you to use your own authority.
Okay.
Okay? First, I want you just to confess.
Okay.
Because receiving a spirit of anger, it's a sin. Uh-oh. What's happening?
Manifesting.
It's beginning to manifest. This is when you don't need to get excited. You don't need to. I'm going to let him suffer here for a little bit. You don't need to get all excited and get paranoid. You don't want to shake him. You don't want to yell at him. First and foremost, deliverance is a ministry of love. You have the authority. You have it. So you need to use it. And it's simple. All you say, you got to get to his ear and say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to submit and be still. Be still in Jesus' name. It's really that simple. It really is. Now, the enemy sometimes comes back and he wants to test you to see if you know your authority. You might have to do this a couple times. Don't get excited. Don't scream. Maintain your composure. Maintain your authority. And just simply repeat it. Again, in the name of Jesus, I bind you up. be still in Jesus' name. Okay? Once he's back coherent, which it looks like he is now, I'm going to ask him, you want to be set free from this, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
What just happened to me?
Well, you just manifested a small demon, but it's no big deal. We're going to boot him out.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right. No big deal.
Okay.
All right. So first of all, you just want to repent. So just in your own words, just tell Jesus you're sorry for receiving the spirit of anger.
Father, forgive me for allowing the anger to be in my life. Thank you for forgiving me.
Right then and there, he just tore the rug out from underneath the enemy's feet using his authority. I'm leading him through it. I'm teaching him how to be set free on his own authority. So then after he confesses it, then you want to have him renounce it. Okay? And since he probably doesn't know how to do that, and I'm teaching him, you want to instruct him and have him repeat after you. Okay? So it's real simple. So say, okay, repeat after me, okay? Okay. You say, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I renounce.
I renounce.
All the ground.
All the ground.
That I gave over.
That I gave over.
To the spirit of anger.
To the spirit of anger.
And I take back.
And I take it back.
Right now.
Right now.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Boom.
Boom.
That was step two. I don't do as many sound effects as him, but I have little ones. So step three, that's where the rubber hits the road. That's when you're booting them out, okay? And they have to use their authority. Because remember, if I do it and I walk away and they don't use their authority, the devil knows he has no authority. So they have to say it. So you just patiently and calmly just have him repeat after you again. So you just say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I bind up.
I bind up.
That spirit of anger.
Spirit of anger.
And I cast you out.
I cast you out.
Of my life.
Of my life.
Right now.
Right now.
Go.
Go.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
See, and you can do this just by whispering to the person. You could be sitting right in the front row, have your arm around somebody. You can't hear me, right? That's how quiet you can do it with the authority you have. You have that much authority. Okay? It's a simple process, but you have to understand you have the authority. Okay? And this is Tony's favorite part. Now that the house has been swept clean, there's a hole in the spiritual realm in his life. In his spirit, now there's a hole where the anger was.
Soul.
In the soul.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
Anyways, moving on. There's a hole in his soul where the anger was. You want to fill it up with the Holy Spirit. So you just want to pray blessings over him. To say, Holy Spirit, come with your grace, with your mercy. Father, you have washed him clean. Now fill him up with your presence. From the very bottom of his feet to
Jesus, 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 Jesus.
If you don't understand what's going on, if this is something new you haven't experienced, at this point it's simple. All you do is you get to his ear and you ask him,
Jesus,
what's happening to you right now?
God's so beautiful.
Okay. Sometimes they'll start to vibrate. Sometimes they'll fall on the ground and roll. The anointing does crazy things to our bodies. If you don't understand what it is, ask. You don't need to assume it's another demon. If it is, they'll let you know. Because if it was, they'll say, oh, I'm afraid, or it's dark, or there's something in me that's moving. It's trying to come out. And then you go back through. You find out what the issue is, and you just repeat the steps until he is completely set free. So then when it's all done, you want to ask him, so how do you feel now? And I'm taking he's feeling pretty good. Amen? Does that make a lot of sense? Is that something you think that you can grasp a hold of pretty easy? Okay, now it's quiz time. I was never a school teacher, so this is kind of fun. The tables have turned. The quiz is, what is step number one? Do you remember step number one? Just say it out loud. Confession. That's right. You have to seek confession. Ask for forgiveness. That is step number one. Step number two, What's step number two? Do you remember? Renounce. Ah, you guys are getting better at the test. It's someone gives you the answers. Step number three. Binding. That's right. And step number four, the best step of all. Filling them. That's right. You get a gold star. So I'm going to switch it up a little bit. What's step number three? Oh, see if you're paying attention. Nancy got it. What's step number three? Binding. Step number one? Confessing. Four? Filling. And number two? That's right. You guys are good. Okay, one more time. Step number one. What are you going to do first? Confess. That's right. Step number two? Renouncing. Step number three? Binding. And four? See, now what you're doing is you're retaining the four steps. You can use these very four steps on yourself daily. If you're driving down the road, and this would probably happen to me a lot here because you guys drive on the wrong side. Or we drive on the wrong side. I haven't quite figured that out. Someone's driving on the wrong side. And more than likely, it'd probably be me. But if someone cut in front of me, and it probably might invoke a little bit of anger or rage. That is not of God. So right away, you know it. It's like, okay, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have screamed that thing out the window at this person. Even if it was his fault, you shouldn't have done it. So if you just simply say, Father, forgive me for receiving the spirit of rage, the spirit of anger. I renounce that right now. I take back that ground that I gave over to the enemy. I bind up and cast out the spirit of rage and anger. Holy Spirit, come and fill me. As you're driving down the road, and boom, you're set free. Just like that. It really is that simple. Kind of like Tony said, we've traveled all around the world. We've seen hundreds and hundreds of different demonstrations of deliverance. We've seen many wrong ways to do it. Many wrong ways. Deliverance is a ministry of love. Shaking and screaming and yelling is not love. How many of you have children? I have two daughters. I would never shake them and scream at them to discipline them. My daughters respond more by discipline of love than anything else. So the person that's in front of you that is needing help, that is needing to be set free, they're going to respond to you so much better by you just simply loving on them. Okay? And that's simply by having them confess. Renounce, bind, and fill them up. Amen? You guys got it? Do I need to go through the quiz one more time? No. Well, we'll give a private lesson to you. Okay, so this is what we want to do. We want you guys actually to put this to practical use right now. Because all of you are Christians, right? Is everybody here a Christian? Is anybody not a Christian? If you're not, then I would recommend that you do not go through any deliverance until you receive Jesus, because the condition will get worse. Okay, so you need to be set free by receiving Jesus first. But we want you to pair up with someone to sit next to you or behind you. We want everybody to pair up with a partner. It could be somebody you know. It could be somebody you don't know. Male, female, it doesn't matter. And we want you to ask each other, what is something that is hindering your life that you need to be set free from tonight? It could be as simple as lying about something. It could be as a teenager, it could be that you felt guilty because you cheated on a test. It could be anger from driving. It could be anything. Anything. And if the way I believe is that if you believe that you don't have anything that you need to be set free from, then you have a spirit of deception and you need to be set free from that. Because I can guarantee you right now, I will not cast the first stone. I won't do it. Because I know that at any given moment, something God can show me that I need to be set free from, and if I ever even want it. And when he shows me, and when he shows you now, you know how simple it is with your own authority. But we want you to practice on each other so you can kind of get an idea how it is to help somebody else. to be able to minister to somebody else, to see exactly how easy it is using the four steps. Okay? Is that okay? Are we okay with that? Amen. So we'll give you a few minutes just to give it a whirl. If you have any questions, just raise your hand. We'll be more than happy to come out and assist you. Okay? Okay, find a partner. Remember, it's four simple steps. Whatever the issue is, take turns. First, you ask if they're a Christian. Make sure that they're saved. And if they're not, ask if they want to receive Jesus. If they do, lead them to Jesus. If they don't, then just bless them. And once you start, remember, it's just confession, renouncing, binding, and filling up with the Holy Spirit. Amen?